Blog Talk Radio.
Begin where the story ends, surrounded by my friends, searching for my ends. Haters will contend to get close to him, or look out for the sharp flint to see what's with the darkling. Heaters, yes, they mocked him, but I cannot blame them. His arm is not shortened, ear is not laddin'. With the heavy burden, I have not heard him. This is why I'm hurting, sin is not working, Satan steady lurking. Praise Yah, never will I curse him. They likely see me fall, but this is their worst thing. They will be saved, but remember Daniel in the lion's den. Haman with the Persians, Maccabees and the Grecians, Yehudadeen and Americans, tearing down their teraphims. Quickly we'll be leaving, too many years grieving. Yahweh, Holy One, forgive us for the treason.
I know you wanna see me on the dark road. I know you wanna see me bend low. You wanna see me living life. Hey, I know you wanna see me dead and gone. You don't wanna see me holding on. You don't wanna see me strong, but I'm still pressing on.
I gotta move on, press on, so long, so wrong, but Yah's light keep me strong. Yah's my strength, to Him I give thanks. Started out at the bottom, now moving up in the ranks. Still sing, got me walking the plate. I need a new heart before the ship sinks. Widen roads, race bridges, they bringing in the tanks. Everyone a terrorist, Charlie Dunn with the Franks. Rex 84 phase, hope Baney don't see the cage. This slope is so slippery. Eyes mixing no better with all my iniquity. I don't know why haters they envy me. Maybe because my lava listed calligraphy. But it's Yah's words, the message He given me. Y'all don't want to drink of my cup. So what? Peace of liberation. Sure, I trust in Yah, that's what's up.
I know you
want to
see me on the dark road. I know you want to see me dead and gone. You want to see me living life. Hey, why? I know you want to see me dead and gone. You don't wanna see me holding on. You don't wanna see me standing strong. But I'm still pressing on. I'm still pressing on.
Shalom, shalom. Giving all honor, all glory, and all praises to the Holy One of Israel, whose name alone is Yahweh, our Elohim. It is a great blessing to be able to give praises to the Most High and the little sanctuary that He has set for His people. My name is Morey Obadiah Yisrael of the House of Yisrael, located in 1907 Vine Street. And I'm standing there for the Elder Morey here at the House of Yisrael, Morey Ishaya Yisrael. And this is nothing but the truth. And we're giving all honor, all glory, and all praises to the Holy One of Yisrael, whose name alone is Yahweh. Now, who is Yah? Well, Yah is the creator of the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Yah is the creator and also the savior and redeemer of not only Yisrael, but of the world today. So we give honor and thanks and glory unto the true and living Elohim, whose name alone is Yah. And this evening, we're going to deal with a couple of current events, and we're going to deal with a subject, and they all go hand in hand. Once again, it's been a very beautiful, edifying week in the glorification of the Most High. Once again, for Yah's service to stand up and witness to the truth of the Most High and to testify and give testimony that no word is ever truer but the words of the true and living Elohim, that any answer that we seek, that pertains to salvation can be sought right out of Yah's book, right out of his words. And no need to stumble, no need to stutter, no need to grab 7 to 8 books or have a row of professors. In all wisdom, all understanding and knowledge comes issuing out of the book of Yah. So it's a great blessing to see Yah's servants testify and give testimony to the truth of Yah. And this is what we do. We give testimonies to the true and living Elohim, because these laws, these statutes, and these judgments that Yah has set before us today, not only are they our righteousness, not only are they our life, but these laws, statutes, and judgments are life-changing. Transform you into a brand new man or woman just by doing and confirming the words of these laws and these testimonies. The world wouldn't be in the uproar that it is today. Our people wouldn't be in utter confusion and darkness as they are today. And our people wouldn't be getting led astray today if they would just hearken to the voice of Yah and cleave unto Yah and his words. But because we don't, and because we haven't, we are in the midst of our enemies today. And we are ensnared by the bondage of captivity. And our people are crying and they're howling in the streets because they want justice. They want peace. They want mercy. They want freedom. They want liberation. Well, if you seek all these things, then you have to look no further than the book of Yah and seek it out of, seek wisdom, understanding and knowledge out of his book, and seek the Most High's ways and stop seeking the ways of yourself. Then you wouldn't find yourself ensnared in these entrapments that these nations have set for us. And the Most High said, well, the wisdom that the Most High had put in his book, in the book of Proverbs, the 11th chapter in the first verse, it says that a false balance is an abomination unto Yahweh. And that's all you see up and down throughout the aisles and highways and byways. You just see a false balance being committed, and it's causing man to transgress. It's causing man to have iniquity. It's causing men and women to err by the way. Why? Because they're living in a life and they're living in a system that is predicated on having a false balance. And they're walking in the way that's going to cause them to teach and act and behave and carry on with a false balance. And these things that's being done today are an abomination unto the Most High. Now, you and I may think they're just fine. Or most of our people may think that they're not doing anything against the Most High. That they're saying, I don't offend at all. These are the ways that are set before me, so these are the ways that I'm going to do. But the Most High requires so much more out of us. This is why we have laws, statutes, judgments, and commandments, so that we may walk in all the ways of Yahweh. Because a false balance is an abomination. Just a couple of current events before we go into a lesson that I want to deal with. Because all this misjustice that's going on is a direct result of not confirming the words of the Most High. Just a couple of current events here, right here in the city of Cincinnati. Right here in the city of Cincinnati, they have passed a law where homeless camps, men and women, and some may have children with them, they just had a comfortable spot. I mean, as comfortable as you're going to be without a home, a comfortable spot just to sleep. And they had a city council meeting, and they said, look, this isn't beautifying the downtown area. This is putting a black eye on the area, so we got to clear this out. Because they just poured millions into the gentrification of this sector of the city, And they want it to look attractive to oncoming people that's coming to the city. So you don't just come for a Bengals or a Reds game. You're coming because you think that this city is beautiful. And they don't need someone like somebody just worried about where they're going to sleep tonight, dirtying up and polluting up their eyesight. Well, this is an abomination because they had a city council meeting and they had an extension. And they said, because this was unfair to the thing, to the people that was just trying to have somewhere to sleep at night, just to have a covering in this hot sun, or maybe have a covering in the cold of winter. And they said, no, you got to go. So they renovated a section down here and fenced it off with the people, the same people that have to wonder how they're going to eat from day to day, or how they may have to bathe from day to day. Now they have to worry about how they're going to sleep from day to day. And now they're living down the streets. And they got tents. And now they're saying, well, they got to get out from there too. They're trying to move them completely out of an area. They already had the discomfort and oppression of being poor. They already have the discomfort from being destitute and not knowing how they're going to eat and survive from day to day. They already have this to worry about. But now they have to worry about where they're going to lay their heads day by night. They already sleeping on the streets. But this is the type of laws that's being passed. Meanwhile, they're moving people out from just sleeping on the streets. But just a couple of years ago, they passed the bill to put in their budget and have a $190 million project called the streetcar. $190 million just to take you 3.5 miles up the block. Basically, everywhere that it goes, you're within walking distance. But they complaining about the poor on the streets. They complaining about what's in the budget, but they sure find money in the budget to make the city look good or to make it look attractive. And this is the type of falsehood that the Most High says is an abomination. And this is not the Elohim. This is not the true and living Elohim has ordained for his people to behave himself. This is the heart of Yahweh. And this is the heart that the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Israel has for his people today. If you turn with me to the books, to the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter. In Leviticus, the 19th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 9th verse. Leviticus 19 and 9 reads, "And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am Yahweh, your Elohim." The Most High is saying, look, we're agricultural people. And when you plant your gardens, don't glean them. Don't just completely strip your gardens. Don't glean the sides. Don't just totally leave them just bald and take everything for yourself and for your household. No, you leave some. You leave some for the poor and for the stranger. So the poor and the stranger wouldn't have to worry about how I'm going to eat. They could just go to your vineyard and stand there and eat until they're full, they're satisfied, and then they can go about their way. Now they have something nourishing in their system. Now they have nutrients keeping them up, sustaining them, all because this is the law of Yahweh. But is this the law that we have in our heart today? Is this the law that we have instilled today? Just consider what type of heart you have today. Picture yourself just planting a vineyard, and now you got fruit that's sprouting up, and you got peppers and all type of nice vegetables that sprouted up, and you just came outside and you seen someone just standing there eating. Now you're going to have a heart to say, man, that's the law of Yah. This is why Yahweh commanded me not to glean my gardens. Or would you go out in the house and grab your shotgun or a baseball bat or a knife and you would shoo them away? And not only would you shoot a stranger and the poor away, you get angry when the birds eat. As if Yahweh is not their Elohim as well. Because all we have learned from society is to be self-sufficient. That's why they say the first rule of law is self-preservation. So you come up with a, we come up under a selfish mentality. And we don't want to think about no one else but our own and ourselves. And this is a false balance, because when you're destitute and when you're in need of help, you want people to have mercy upon you and help you out. But when somebody poor comes to you, you say, man, you could be out there hustling. You just trying to get you a drink. You just trying to smoke something. I'm not going to feed your habit. And you can make all these assumptions. And your assumptions may be true. But the Most High never told us not to consider the poor. Where they sleep, where they eat, where they live, is supposed to be on the forefront of our hearts and minds. Now, this is keeping the law. Now, as much as Israel will scream, I keep the law, are you doing this? Are we doing this today? Are we considering this today? And for the most part, no, we're not. Because these we have turned far away from the commands of Yah. And we have started choosing ways unto ourselves that are perverse and not of the Most High. The Most High also, in the current event, there's a trial taking place of a man convicted of multiple murders. Not just one. Not just two. But he's accused of 6 to 7 murders. And this man was brought to trial, convicted, and sentenced to death. Well, now they're reopening the trial to see if maybe that was too harsh. Maybe we should give him life imprisonment instead of the death penalty. And they're wasting people's money having a trial over a man that was found to be a murderer. And this is not the ways of Yah. This is not the laws of Yah. But this is how you know that we're in the daughter of Babylon, the daughter of confusion, because there is no confusion in the words of Yah on how to deal with a murderer. If you want to know how you deal with a murderer, it's just as plain and simple as this. Turn with me to the book of Numbers, the 36th chapter. Excuse me, that's Numbers, the 35th chapter. And in Numbers, the 35th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 30th verse. It reads, "Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Moreover, you shall take no satisfaction in the life of a murderer." And that's exactly what they're doing by reopening this trial. They take a satisfaction in the shedding of the in the hands of a murderer. It says, which is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death. And ye shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land unto the death of the priest. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. This is how the true justice of Yahweh looks. The Most High said that while this murderer is walking the earth, the land is defiled. And the only way that the land can be cleansed is if the blood of the murderer be shed. And you don't have to have a trial for this. All you need is two or more witnesses. One witness won't do it. You need two or more witnesses. And once diligent inquisition has been made and you have indeed been found guilty, you got to go. This is the judgment of Yahweh. But you ask some of our people today, you believe in the death penalty? No, I'm highly against the death penalty. But then they'll turn around and say, well, we keep the law. A false balance is an abomination unto Yah. And of course, we can't execute this type of punishment in captivity because we captives. But this is to let you know, this is the type of system that you're in. They would justify the murderer. They would let go the oppressor, but they would imprison the oppressed. This is the captivity that we live in. Just like I see the story on the news, I see the story on the internet, and it was disgusting. It was putrid to see this. You have a floor for the children getting stories, children's stories, read to them by men dressed like women. They call them drag queens. Now, what in the world does this have to do with reading the children? Seeing this old hairy man stand before your children, reading to them, dressed up like a woman. This is just another abomination that's taking place. And this is why Yahweh commands his people to teach their children. He said this in the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. And it's such abominable now that even in China, they having books, children's books, that's pushing homosexual agendas. Having a little boy on the front of a children's magazine with two daddies, with two mamas. And they said, man, we hide this in our library. Because even they know this is an abomination that's taking place. But because they justify so much wickedness, they can't condemn one without the other part of wickedness coming up and saying, well, how do you justify this but condemn this? So now they just got to have a free-for-all and justify all type of abominations. And this is why the Most High commanded his servants to teach his children. In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter and the 7th verse, it reads, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou rise up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when Yahweh thy Elohim shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy father, to Abraham, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. This is how the Most High said, this is how you're going to preserve the land. This is how you live in righteousness. This is how you be the upright. And as Moray Ishah spoke about yesterday, speaking about what it means to be a friend, the Most High called Abraham his friend. And what did the Most High say about Abraham? He said, I know him. that he would command his house. So that means whether it was his wife, whether it's his children, whether it's just people, strangers that's in his house, he's going to give them one manner of law to live by, and that's the law of Yahweh. It won't be none of this abominable things that's being condoned. It won't be none of this wickedness that's being permissible. It won't be, no, well, I got to have a free thought because we in a new time. No, the same abominations then are the same abominations now. And this is the type of things that we're in the midst of. This is the type of chaotic mentality that our people are partaking in and being consumed by. And why is this relevant today? Because the Most High gave us laws, statutes, judgments, and commandments that will keep us out of the way of wickedness, that will keep us from being evil. Turn with me to the book of Psalms 19. In Psalms, the 19th chapter, and the 7th verse, it reads that the law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. So this is letting you know the words, the law of Yahweh is complete. And you know what the laws are? The laws are the words of the Most High. So this is saying that the word of Yahweh is complete. That means Yah don't talk in parables or in dark speeches or give you a half thought and say, I'll get to you later. No, that may be how man deals with. That may be how man answers, but this is not the way of Yah. His words are complete. His law is complete. So anything that's governing and anything, the what we can and what we can't do, is already governed in his words. And then it further says, the testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. Why is the testimony so sure? And why does it make the wise the simple? Because the law of Yahweh is perfect. And you're going to have testimonies that confirm the perfection of Yah's word. It's not going to deviate from Yah's word, go to the left or to the right, and then come along and say it's perfect. No, that's something that man does. And that's why there's so much confusion today. I see ridiculous things every day about the laws of Yah. And these laws make the wise the simple. All we got to do is hearken to the words of Yah and administer what he's commanding us, and we will be made wise. People arguing today saying, man, I don't see in the law where you can't spend money on the Sabbath day. I don't see in the law where a man can't die for your sins. And this is all through Yahweh's laws and his testimonies. This is why Yahweh said to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. So we're in the perpetual state of darkness, of nothingness, when we don't confirm these laws. And this is something that we must grasp and understand that no way of life have come along to rival the words of Yah. There has been no New Testament to rival the words of Yah. There has been no Quran to rival the words of Yah. There has been no coming forth for the book of the day and night that rivals the word of Yah. All these things are in contention because Yah gave permission for these false books to be brought forth. And just like the Most High testing us, testing our people in the wilderness, he testing our people today to see whether we would keep his commandment or no. But to keep Yahweh's commandment is something that we have to have. It's something that we have to do within us to stay faithful to the Most High. And this is what the Most High is commanding us and commissioning us to do. It's in the book of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. Turn with me there. In the book of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 30th verse. It says, therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith Yah Elohim. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith Yah Elohim. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. The Most High is saying, look, just turn from our transgressions. Turn from our iniquities and make within us a new heart and a new spirit. And this is why we have such a difficulty staying faithful to the Most High, because we are failing to make within us a new heart and a new spirit. And we thinking that we can just get along, go along and get along. But no, the Most High has given us the upper echelon of wisdom, understanding and knowledge. He's given us the chief of wisdom, understanding and knowledge. He's given us his word. So if the Most High said that make within you a new heart and make within you a new spirit, then it could be done. It's by what we have to apply these laws, statutes, judgments, and commandments that Yahweh has given to his servants. And he didn't give it to us in vain for us just to read and do the opposite, or for us to read and just say, well, that's a nice antidote. He gave us this so that we can become brand new. We can be restored if we just apply these laws in our inward parts. But there's something that's keeping us from doing this. And there's many adventures that's keeping us from doing this. But turn with me to the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter. In Genesis, the 6th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the first verse. And it reads, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And Yah said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years old. 20 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that were the sons of Elohim came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And Elohim saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented Yah that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And this is what's happening today. We're being consumed. We're being led to slaughter because we continue to follow after every imagination of the thoughts of our own heart. And if the imagination of your heart is not set to keep the laws and to cleave unto Yah and to follow Yah, then we should not be following the imaginations of our heart, because it's only being led to our demise. It's only being led to our destruction. It's only leading us into slaughter. And this is why we're being consumed in such a high number today, because we're following after every imagination of our heart. But you'll have some people say, man, the heart don't do nothing. It's just the mechanism that pumps blood. That's all it does. That's all it do. It just pumps blood. But all your thoughts, it come from your brain. It come from your mind. Well, constantly you'll see the Most High saying, keep out the imagination of man's heart with evil. And turn with me to Proverbs, the 4th chapter. And in Proverbs, the 4th division, and the 23rd verse, it reads, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This is the wisdom and instructions that the Most High has left in his testimonies. It say, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issue of life. So you know what this means. This means that nothing works without the heart. That's why it's a central nervous system within itself. That means that it's in charge of the pumping of blood throughout our entire bodies. And Yahweh said that the life of man, the life of all flesh, is in the blood. So why wouldn't you want to keep something this important? Why wouldn't we want to keep something this vital with all diligence? Because what do you think your mind is, what do you think prompts to your brain to keep it going? Blood. What do you think courses through our very veins so that we can wiggle our fingers, our toes, move our legs, our feet? Blood. The very thing that makes hair grow out of your follicles. Blood. Because this is the issues of life. And this is why Yahweh has given us a dietary law. This is why Yahweh has given us his laws, statutes, and commandments, so that we may put them on our inward parts and make within us a new heart. And therefore, we will get a new spirit. And we can be restored and made anew. But we have to consider these things and make within us a new heart. And we have to keep it. That means protect it with all diligence. For out of it flows the issues of life. And a lot of our people don't even know that your thoughts, that's exactly where they're coming from. Your emotions, that's exactly where they're coming from. Your rationale or your irrationality, that's exactly where it's coming from. And when we have a heart that is rebellious, this is the words that we utter, even if our lips are not moving. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, the 30th chapter. In the book of Isaiah, the 30th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 8th verse. Isaiah 30 verse 8 reads, now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book. What book? This book that we have before us today. That it may be for the time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people. Lying children, children that will not hear the law of Yah, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. Get you out the way. Turn aside out of the path and cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Now, why is this thing relevant? Why is this noted? Because these are the things that our people are uttering. But where do you think these imaginations come from? Why, from your heart. When was the last time you uttered something out of your mouth that wasn't purposed in your heart? And if you did, you catch yourself like, oh, I didn't mean to say that. But that's just how quick the heart works. This is how smooth the heart can be. Because a fool uttereth all his mind. So yeah, your heart get the pumping. Because the heart, it wants to feel good. It wants to be satisfied. It wants to be in the house of mirth. It don't want to go into the house of mourning. It just want to do the things that make it feel right. And when you go into the house of mourning, and when you are humbled, you're not in a good state. You're in a good state, but you don't feel good. It doesn't feel good to us to be in this humble state. And this is the state that the Most High say that he want us in a humble state. The Most High say, I want you uncomfortable. I want you to see how it feels to not have the true and living Elohim in your midst. You need to see what it looks like to not keep my laws and not confirm my words, nor my testimonies. You need to see this. So when you see it, you are humbled. And you can turn from your ways and return back unto me. This is what the Most High is commanding us to do today. And this is why we are in the state that we are in today. Because Yahweh wants us humble. And he wants us to make within us a new heart and a new spirit. So that we can cleave unto our Elohim. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, the 18th chapter. Because your heart will have you utter things, perverse things, and they'll fly out of your mouth. And you hear people saying that today, man, I don't have no filter. I don't have no chill. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say, and it just comes from my heart. People say, man, listen to your heart. I speak from my heart. And this is why we are in the condition that we are in today. In the book of Proverbs, the 18th chapter and the 21st verse, it reads that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That's why we want to be circumspect about what we utter. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. You hear people today saying, look, man, when it's my time. When it's my time, I'll die. But don't you know that you can rush death just by speaking? Just by speaking the wrong words in the wrong season. It could bring you imminent death. And just like it could bring you imminent death, speaking the right words in the right season can bring you imminent life. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're speaking out of your mouth, we're going to eat the fruit of it. So if we're saying, look, we don't want to serve Yah. We don't want to keep his laws, his statutes, and his judgments. We don't want to follow after his servants. We don't want to do none of that. I'm satisfied with just being an African-American. I don't care about no keeping the Bible or going back to no Jerusalem. Well, if that's the way you want to go, then you're going to eat the fruit of what you just uttered out of your mouth. But if you say we're going to cleave unto Yah, and we're going to seek and search after Yah and confirm his word to keep his law, then we'll eat the fruit of that. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. The Most High said this in the book of, and the reason why you can say that these things are uttered from your heart, and people just think they got it down pat because the enemy, your enemy has told you what your heart does. Or it's a mechanism that pumps blood. It has veins and arteries, and it pumps it to your major parts of your body, and that's basically its main function. That's all it does. But look at what the Most High said about our heart. In the book of Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Turn with me there. In the book of Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 7th verse. Jeremiah 17 and verse 7 reads, blessed is the man that trusteth in Yahweh, and whose hope Yah is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Why are these blessings upon Yah's servant? Because this is someone that has separated themselves and made themselves holy. And if you keep in the law, you're holy. And if you ask most of our people today, are you holy? Man, no, because I'm in a polluted land. What did the Most High say? Our holiness is connected strictly to a land. Our holiness is connected to keeping Yahweh's word. This is our holiness. But you, these type of imaginations will come, and you don't even know from whence they come. But Yah gave us the answer right here in Jeremiah, the 17th chapter and the 9th verse. It says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? People say, man, I know myself like the back of my hand. No, you don't. Because all it takes is one action, and you be like, man, I didn't expect to do that. I didn't know I was going to run in the time of, I thought I was a warrior. I didn't know I was going to flee. Oh, I didn't know I had that in me. Why? Because the heart is deceitful and is desperately wicked. It's not only wicked, it's desperately wicked. It'll plead it to do the wrong thing. Your heart will give you very good comfort in doing the wrong thing. That's what our hearts would do. But to do the right thing, oh, man, it's all type of excuses. When you're trying to do the right thing, man, I got to let this grudge go because y'all said don't hold a grudge against your people. Yeah, man, but he did this to you, man. He owed you money. We talk about money. Man, don't you let that grudge go with that sister. You know what she said to you. You know what she did to you. It's just desperately wicked. But when you say, man, I'm going to keep this law. Ah, now, you know what comes with keeping the law, don't you? You're not going to be able to have fun. You're not going to be able to do this and do that. Because it's desperately wicked. It's perpetually uttering things to keep us out of the way. And this is why Yahweh said, make within you a new heart. This is why Yah said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Because I know the thoughts that come from your heart. And that's what it says in the very next verse. It says, I, Yahweh, search of the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So all this misjustice that's being done in the streets that people think that they're getting away with, no, this is Yah, because Yahweh knows the heart. And he giving the man according to all of his doings and his ways. So when the time of judgment arrives, and that sword is coming upon you, that famine is coming upon you, the wild beast are coming upon you, you can't say, Yahweh, I didn't know. The Most I say, yes, you did. But you ignored it because you saw after your own pleasures. You saw after what pleased you instead of seeking after what pleaseth me. And this is not the way that the Most High wants us to go. This is not in the way that the Most High is commanding us to go. The way that Yahweh commands us to go and what he respects is the last thing that we want to do. Because, again, it's not pleasurable. Now people will jump up and down all day and say, man, I don't keep the Sabbath day. Or I don't keep the laws. Because we don't have a sacrifice. We don't have a priest. Well, let's see what sacrifice Yahweh requires of us. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, the 50th chapter. In Psalms, the 50th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 23rd verse. Psalms 50 and verse 23 reads, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of Elohim. Why? Because life, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And Yahweh says, surely, if you order your conversation aright, and you speak on my works, and give me praises, I will show you the salvation of Elohim, because you delight in me. And when we delight in the Yah, we don't have time for no evil or foolish thoughts. We don't have time to have no wicked imaginations. Because as soon as they enter, you're going to know that this is something foreign. You're going to know that this is something abominable. You're like, man, get that out of here. Conversation was going so smooth. We was praising Yah, and guess what we're going to continue to keep doing? Praising Yah. But the wicked, that's all they're doing is seeking after mischief. So when we start hearkening to it, then we start, our conversations become altered. And they become something that's not to the edification of Yah. But let's order our conversation aright. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And little do our people consider, a lot of the conversations that stirred up, they're coming right from the imaginations of our own heart. But what sacrifice does Yahweh require? What is he pleased with? Well, all you have to do, all we have to do is go right over to the next chapter of Psalms, the 51st division. Psalms 51 and 17, it reads, the sacrifices of Elohim are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O Elohim, thou will not despise. This is what Yah said is an acceptable sacrifice to me. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. Because you humbled, you low, and now I can come down and be with you. Because you're in a humble state. But as long as we in the haughty state, and as long as we uttering and saying, look, I'll keep the laws as long as they're not an inconvenience to me. But as soon as it threatens my health, as soon as it threatens my family, as soon as it threatens my job, I got to cast this to the side. Well, this is not what Yahweh would delight in. Because he already know when the going get tough, and when he put even more adversity on you, you're going to break. Break like a straw. And the Most High said that the sheep of his pasture are men. This is what we got the laws, statutes, and judgments for. So that we can endure. But this is the sacrifice that Yahweh delights himself in. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. And if we do these things, this is how we can make unto ourselves a new heart and a new spirit. But if we refuse to do this, then we wonder why we're in the plight that we're in today. The Most High said this in the book of Hosea, the 7th chapter. Turn with me there. The Hosea, the 10th chapter. In Hosea, the 10th chapter, and the 12th verse, it reads, sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek Yahweh till he come and rain righteousness upon you. This is what the Most High is saying. This is how we make a new heart and a new spirit. We got to break up this fallow ground. We got to break up this stony heart of ours and this haughty spirit of ours. And we got to sow to ourselves righteousness. And the Most High said that he will rain righteousness upon us. And most of our people don't even get or fathom how deep that is. But this is what the Most High said he will do. But what most of our people say is like, look, that's too much work. I'm just trying to get successful. I'm just trying to get rich. So when I get rich, Yahweh can see my righteousness. But this is not what the Most High require of us. And this is what the Most High say we have done because we refuse to do this. In the 13th verse, he said, you have plowed wickedness and ye have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because thou did trust in thy way and the multitude of thy mighty men. And this is why we being consumed today. We said, look, man, I don't need y'all. I can vote. I don't need y'all. All I need is a pistol. I don't need y'all. All I need is a sword. Man, I don't need those laws. All I got to do is walk headstrong. Because I'm a proud black man. I'm a proud black woman. Proud, proud, proud. But wisdom will let you know that pride goeth before destruction. And the biggest store of pride, where you can always go and get it, is right from our hearts. And these things seep into our spirit. So we just got to seek out to make ourselves anew. So we can see these things for what they are. Abominable. Turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. In Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. Because as long as we keep trusting in these so-called mighty men and the imaginations of our own heart, this is why we continually become in the plight that we are in. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter and the 29th verse, it reads, lo, this only have I found, that Elohim have made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Yes, our imperfections are not of Yah. Our flaws and our errors in thinking are not of Yahweh. This is why Yahweh is constantly commanding us to keep his laws, his statutes, his testimonies. Look unto the rock of which you were hewn. I gave you men of example to walk after, and they walked after me, and they clave unto me. This is who the Most High commanded us to walk after. But because we done sought out many inventions, now we want to be just like Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Marcus Garvey, Obama. Now we want to be just like Rockefeller. We want to be rich like Trump. We want to be rich like the DuPont family. Because we just seek out many other inventions. And none of these ways lead us to righteousness. None of these ways lead us into the path of salvation. All these things lead us into is further and further into vanities. Nothing. And this is what the Most High is saying. Look, I don't have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Because it's just vanity. That's vanity. I'm the giver of life. I give life. So why would I take pleasure in the death of the wicked? No, what most I say I take pleasure in is if the wicked just change from their ways and do that which is lawful and right. Then I'll take pleasure in that. Because I will see someone that has made a transformation. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter. Because if we want a new heart and we want a new spirit, there's certain things that we can seek after and we'll get it. Because the Most High wouldn't give us a command of something that we couldn't obtain. The Most High wouldn't say, make within you a new heart and a new spirit if it was impossible to obtain. All we have to do is humble ourselves and seek after that which is right and lawful. In Isaiah, the 11th chapter, and the first verse, it reads, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Yah. And he shall make him of a quick understanding in the fear of Yah. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reign." This is what the Most High is saying will happen when these spirits are upon us. But the chief spirit that we want upon us is the Spirit of Yahweh. This is how we'll be able to obtain a new heart and a new spirit. Because if we get a new heart, what type of spirit do we want upon us? We want right spirits. We want these spirits, so that we can walk in the ways of Yah. And it don't say that you will become haughty to the poor. This the Most High said, with righteousness you will judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. This is how having a new heart and the spirit looks like. Total dedication to the Most High. And if we're blessing the Most High, you know you're blessing his people. Because the Most High delights in his people. Now, when are we going to delight in the Most High and make within us a new heart and a new spirit? In the book of Isaiah, the 8th chapter, turn with me there. We want this new heart. We want this new spirit. But there's certain things that we have to do to obtain them. And these are major keys to getting a new heart and a new spirit. In the book of Isaiah, the 8th chapter and the 20th verse, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." If we want a new heart, if we want a new spirit, then confirm the laws and testimonies of Yahweh. And if we confirm them, we're doing them. And by doing them, we're going to get a new heart. And we'll get a new spirit. The only reason why we don't is because we're not doing the law. We're not confirming the testimonies. We're doing everything but that. We're going to the left. We're going to the right. We're going up the middle, going sideways until we done fell all the way off. But if we want a new spirit, then this is the way we seek. We seek after light. And the light is the laws and the testimonies of Yah. This is the light. Turn with me to the book of Daniel, the 10th chapter. In the book of Daniel, the 10th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 12th verse. I'm going to read the 12th verse. It reads, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy Elohim, thy words were heard, and I am come to thy word." This is what the angel of Yah is promising to the Most High. This is what the Most High is saying. The Most High is saying, look, since you chastened yourself to hear the words of Yah, and since you chastened yourself, the Most High heard you, because you purposed this in your heart. And the Most High would not cause this to be burdensome, because in order for us to make a new heart and a new spirit within ourselves, these things have to take place, because this is how the Most High will bow down his ear and hear the prayers and supplication of his servants. This is how Yahweh will move and operate. So we have to humble ourselves. And there are several ways to humble ourselves. But we have to hearken unto the words of the Most High. We have to hearken to the testimonies of the Most High. And what is the way that we humbled ourselves? Well, we humbled ourselves with fasting and wearing sackcloth and ashes. These are testimonies in the book of Yah. And this is what the Most High looked upon people and saw for righteousness. Turn with me to the book of Jonah, the third chapter. In the book of Jonah, the third chapter, and this is a beautiful testimony of what a nation did when they heard the judgment of Yahweh was coming upon them. And these weren't even Israelites. But look at what they did to get to get the attention of the Most High, for him to bow down his ear. In the book of Jonah, the third chapter, first verse, it reads, "And the word of Yah came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the words of Yah. Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed Elohim and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, lest let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, cry mightily unto Elohim. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if Elohim will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And Elohim saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and Elohim repented of the evil that he has said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. This is the testimony that Yah has left for us to see. How you can commune with your heart and have total transformation of judgment that happens to you. And this is what the people of Nineveh did. And the Most High seen how they humbled themselves, and he turned from them his wrath. Now, if the people of Nineveh can do this, why can't the people of Yah do this? Why was me proclaimed that Yah don't take pleasure in fasting, sackcloth and ashes? If a nation whom the Most High didn't give his laws, statutes, judgment, and commandments to do this, then surely we can do this. because this is how we humble ourselves. And it's going to take humility to make within us a new heart and a new spirit, a right spirit to serve after the Most High. But is this not just this testimony? Turn with me to the book of Esther, the 4th chapter. In the book of Esther, the 4th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the first verse. And Esther 4:1 reads, "And when Mordecai perceived that all was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry and came even before the king's gate. For more might entered into the king's gates clothed with sackcloth, and in every province whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning and amongst the Yehuda knights and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther made her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not, because this is the customs of how we humbled ourselves. And if we want a new heart and a new spirit, we must humble ourselves." And these are testimonies on how people humbled themselves, not only of other nations, but of our own tribes. This is how we humbled ourselves. And this is how we must humble ourselves today. We just got to seek humility. Now, some people may say, look, if we just fasted and wore sackcloth all day long, we can't do that. And just did it all, we wouldn't survive. Well, there's another way the Most High command us to fast. And if we do these things, he will make unto us a new heart and a new spirit. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, the 58th chapter. In Isaiah, the 58th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 5th verse. Isaiah 58:5 reads, "Is this such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Would I call this a fast, an acceptable day to Yah? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? And when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of Yahweh shall be thy rearward." This is how we can humble ourselves. It's by breaking off pieces of this selfishness and deal our bread to the poor and let the oppressed go free by letting them know you're not a homeborn slave. You're a servant of Yah. And by having compassion, having mercy upon your brothers and sisters, and dealing your bread to the poor, and breaking every yoke of oppression, and not becoming an oppressor to the oppressed. This is a fast that's acceptable to the Most High. This is what he said is acceptable in his eyes and in his ears. So if you don't adorn sackcloth and ashes, then we can do this fast. Turn me to the book of Isaiah, the 25th chapter. In Isaiah, the 25th chapter, in verse 1, it reads, O Yahweh, thou art my Elohim. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city a heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, and when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. It's how we make a new heart and a new spirit, because this is the spirit of Yahweh. This is the spirit of Yah. So don't wonder why this is a fast that's acceptable in the eyes of the Most High. And we can do these fasts today and make within ourselves a new heart and a new spirit. This is why the Most High servants gather themselves 3 times every year. And we have a conference coming up this next week. It's coming up shortly, when we will be together with our people for an entire week, glorifying, praising the Most High, singing psalms to the Most High, seeking the Most High, and coming to the Most High before him to eat and to praise him and to give glory unto him. This is going to be a beautiful, glorious conference where the people of Yah get to gather themselves and give praises to the Most High Yah. And if Yah blesses you with a way, I will not miss it. And if you want further information, you can go to www.worldgatheringisrael.org and get all your information there. And if you want to be a part of this, then please don't hesitate to call up the service of Yah. Go to the website, because it's going to be beautiful. And I can assure you that we're going to come out with the tools to make within ourselves a new heart and a new mind. Because this is of the glory of Yahweh. And once we have made a new heart and a new spirit, beauty of our Elohim, the Most High said he would do this in the book of Isaiah, 61st chapter. Isaiah 60 of chapter, excuse me. Isaiah 60 and verse 19, it reads, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but Yahweh shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy Elohim thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For Yahweh shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous, and they shall inherit the land forever. The breach, the branch of my planting, the works of my hands, that I may be glorified. Now, do you think that any of these things could take place if we don't make within us a new heart and a new spirit? If we don't humble ourselves before Yah, these are the rewards that the Most High has for the meek. And to make within us a new heart and a new spirit, we have to be humble. And we have to be meek. Because this is what Yahweh requires of us. This is the ways of righteousness. This is how we walk in all of Yahweh's ways. We have to make within us a new heart and make within us a new spirit. And Yahweh said, this, when we make a new heart and a new spirit within us, he going to confirm it. Because he said he going to do this in the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Turn with me there. In Jeremiah 31, in verse 31, it reads, "Behold, the days come, saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith Yah, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man to his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yah, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more." So make no mistake about it. The remnant will have a new heart and a new spirit. And the remnant will not know how to do evil and corruption, because the law of Yahweh will be written upon our hearts. So let's humble ourselves and make within us a new heart and a new spirit, so that we may see this day when Yahweh confirms it and put this new covenant within us. And no, we are not in the new covenant today. This is not the New Testament. This is not the Quran. This is not any of these books that have come forth. For by following these books, you'll have a heart and a spirit, but it won't be of Yahweh. It'll be after the imaginations of our own hearts. And these are the things that have led our people to their demise. So let us rid ourselves of this evil, of this corruption, of this wickedness. Let's be upright, just as Yahweh made his people, and make within us a new heart and a new spirit to give praises and honor and services to the true and living Elohim, whose name alone is Yahweh. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we at the house of Israel. Shalom.
Mercy and his love and kindness, 'cause I know that I ain't worthy.